You all look so beautiful today. It's very exciting. Very exciting. It's a little wet outside. Everybody got dressed up. This week was an adventurous week for me. I went hiking with a couple other guys up a very large mountain in New Hampshire. I'm climbing all 48 of the 4,000-foot mountains and or higher. And it was cold. It was not cold here. It was cold there. All right? This is Thursday. It was 35 miles an hour wind, negative 4 wind chill. Like you thought you were going to die if you were there for very long at all. And it was actually pretty impressive how beautiful it was. And it was just a really great moment. You had to have all kinds of special gear to do it. And but this picture is extremely impressive. You know, not the three guys up front. But look. One in the middle's all right, but the... But look beyond the guys, okay? Look beyond us there, and look to those things in the back. Those are trees in the back. Now, we're at the top of the mountain, okay? The very top of the mountain, and there's these, like, lonely little trees at the very, very top of the mountain. But the trees are gorgeous because they're little, and they're at the top, and they're just there, declaring the glory of God all day, all night, all the time. And it's just fascinating. You get up there, and they do this in every difficult climate you can imagine. Every hot day, every windy day, every cold day. This wasn't even the coldest it gets or the windiest it gets. But yet, these little trees keep on growing. Tell your neighbor, they keep on growing. Right? And so there they are. But in order to grow, they have to figure out how to grow in the harshest climates you can imagine. And I learned something new this week from Pastor Roy. I thought he was lying to me, but I researched it and he was telling the truth, okay? I learned that in order for a tree to develop properly and to get a healthy root system, it needs wind to develop roots. And if a tree grows where there is no wind, it will just fall over because its root system will not grow properly. Because the opposition of the wind is what trains the tree to develop proper roots. Is anybody almost with me yet? All right. Oh, you're like, oh, I'm the tree. I get it. All right. All right. The wind, the opposition, literally is required to develop a healthy tree. For that tree, at the top of that mountain, it's in what's called the alpine zone. For it to develop at all, it had to learn how to develop its root system amidst all of this kind of difficult weather conditions. Now, if you want to be a big, tall tree, you got to go to the bottom of the mountain, but anybody can grow at the bottom of the mountain. At the bottom, you can just take one of those trees and you can plant it in your backyard. It'll grow the same height. It'll be huge. But those aren't the impressive trees. These are the impressive trees. These trees do something that the rest of the trees only dream about doing. Somebody's with me now. You're with me? All right, you're with me. You're like, oh, I'm not supposed to be at the bottom. I'm supposed to be at the top. You got it. The opposition helps create the health for the tree. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, let me bring it here, says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Look at your neighbor. Just look at your neighbor. I know some of you hate doing this. Just do it anyhow, all right? Look at your neighbor. Don't look too long. All right, just look at your neighbor. And say, I'm not crushed. I'm not crushed, okay? I'm not crushed. Now tell your neighbor, get ready. Get ready. Get ready, okay. Here we go. One of the first lessons that we all learn in life, we all learn this lesson, we learn it extremely early in life, and here's the lesson. Life is not fair. If somehow you didn't learn this lesson yet, and you're here on a Sunday morning going, man, I wish life was fair, you're going to have a long wait, because life is not fair. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Life isn't fair. Even believers in pursuit of Christ experience hardships. We all do. Financial problems, believers get sick, personal struggles, family struggles, mental struggles, struggles of the flesh. Struggles are everywhere. Opposition comes at you. You are pressed. But there's this interesting verse in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now, the Bible there does not say that Satan would not form weapons against you. In fact, quite the opposite. It assumes that there will be attacks on you. It assumes that weapons will be built to come at you. Fiery darts, temptations, challenges, opposition, every kind of chaos is going to come at you. The Bible does not say that the enemy will leave you alone. In fact, the opposite. There is a clear understanding that he will not leave you alone and that you will always be under attack. The Bible does not say that Satan can't touch you. It doesn't say that. Too many Christians walking around with a false understanding of Satan, it's like they think they are spiritual MC Hammers. Can't touch this. Da, 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 da. Can't touch this. It doesn't work that way. I'm like in a singing mood the last 3 weeks. I just want to sing all the time. And so what happens is when people have this sense that, well, like I'm off limits, Satan's never going to try to get me, he's never going to tempt me, you get sidetracked because it's just false thinking. So when you get punched in the face or kicked in the spiritual teeth, you find yourself confused. But what the Bible does say is that the weapons that are formed against you will not prosper. Somebody say prosper. They will not prosper. What that means is they will not accomplish their intended purpose. Their intended purpose is to destroy you. That's their intended purpose. Their intended purpose is to take you away from God. That's their intended purpose. It does not matter what the enemy is working against you. The promise of Scripture is that the weapons will not prosper in your life. And no matter what the challenges that the enemy throws at you, God takes all of those fiery darts, he takes all of those temptations, he takes all those challenges, he takes all those diseases, all those addictions, he takes everything that's coming at you, one, just coming, because life's not fair. God takes every single one of those things, and he gathers them together. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says this, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. It does not say God causes those things to happen. In fact, that would be outrageous. All of those things that somehow in your life you've attributed to like God being mean or evil, those aren't from God. Those are from Satan. What God does is he grabs those things and he causes all this destruction that's going on around you and in your life, and he causes it to work together for your good. Now, this is for those that love God and are called according to his purposes. This is not for everybody. This is a promise unique to Christians, to believers, to authentically true believers. It's a fantastic promise that God somehow redeems this chaos. And God has a fantastic way of taking sorrow and transforming it into something beautiful. He has a profound way of taking pain and recycling it into something that will be the key to unlocking greater things in your life. I've known zero truly successful people in life that have not overcome something great. It was their key to unlocking greatness. Those little trees on top of the mountain that I love so much, they had to overcome a lot. One of the things I love about you is that every time we're together, you're a room full of overcomers. You're a room full of people that just have had more than your fair share. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. It doesn't matter how obedient you are. It doesn't matter how good of a believer you are. At some point, life is going to deal you a blow. These are little potholes in life. Sometimes they're little potholes. Sometimes they're big hot holes. Just depending on what side of town you live on, depends on how big the potholes are, right? Okay. Unexpected situations, undesired problems, they catch you off guard and they send you into a tailspin. And even in these situations that we all encounter, everybody, or have encountered, even in these unexpected moments, these problems, these circumstances, we are reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Somebody say triumph. Triumph. To be victorious. To triumph in Christ. In spite of all of the stuff, God is at work causing us to triumph in Christ. That even in the darkest moment, God has not forgotten us. And I know that sometimes you felt that way. But no matter how dark it's gotten, friends, God has never forgotten about you. Not even for a second. He's never lost track of you. He's always been fighting for you. And remember that God is at work raising you up, causing us to triumph in Christ. So remember, in the chaos of life, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus as fast as you can. And when you get there, hold on to Jesus. And hold on to Jesus as long as you can. And when all the world tells you to let go, and when all hell breaks loose and tries to convince you to give up, and you feel like letting go, in that moment, hold on even tighter. Revelation chapter 12, it says, "And they have defeated him," meaning Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb," meaning Jesus' death on the cross, "and by their testimony." They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. You, in other words, can overcome. You can overcome in Christ. So let me talk to you and remind you about this today. If you've ever been knocked down, anybody been knocked down? If life has ever thrown you an unexpected curve, a sickness has invaded your life, your relationship has fallen apart, financial complications, your kids are having a difficult time, maybe your dream job turned into a nightmare. It's just like you got the wind just knocked out of you. Has that ever happened to anybody? You got the wind knocked out of you? Like, you can't breathe. I was like 12 years old playing baseball. I was in left field. I was probably actually in right field, but I'm going to pretend like I was in left field. But I was in left field. And the ball's hit. It's coming straight to me at this moment. I'm going to catch the ball. It's going to be amazing. And I wave off the center fielder. He's not coming over. But I neglect or didn't say it loudly enough to ward off the third baseman. And so just as I'm catching the ball, the third baseman is just barreling straight towards me. Like, it seemed like he's only 12, so it wasn't that fast, but it seemed like a million miles an hour. And so he crashes right into me. I still got the ball, though. And he crashes right into me, bruises my ribs. I end up on the ground, and I can't breathe. Just the wind. Like, in this moment, you think you're not going to make it. Like, it's just a strange thing that your brain does. But the end of the story is, I'm here. 35 years later, I'm still here. You know, I'm still here. It's all right. My ribs are fine. But sometimes I've gotten the spiritual breath knocked out of me. Not just the physical breath. I've gotten the spiritual breath just kicked out of me. And I think you probably understand what that feels like. But you're still here. And I'm still here. And I want to remind you not to give up. Don't give up. Never give up, no matter what. Kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul in Acts. It's just an interesting little moment in his life. And it says, "Then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their side. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of..." What? They stoned him. You know what that is? That's when they don't like you and they take big rocks and they throw them at your head and they kill you. It's a horrible way to die. It's a horrible way to die. It's one of the worst. They stoned Paul, dragged him out of town thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. This is great, 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 great little moment. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. So he gets stoned and then he just gets back up and goes back and does the thing that they got him stoned in the first place. They thought he was dead. Now, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but they thought he was. Either way, the breath was no longer in his body. But he still made it. And I'm talking to somebody today. You've taken a hard hit, and there's no denying it. It hurt. It knocked you down. It kicked the breath out of you. It's thrown you on the ground and left you for spiritually dead. But the truth is, you are here right now. You are still here right now. And here's a mistake that Satan makes over and over and over again. You see, when a believer gets knocked off of their feet, they get the benefit of being able to fall to their knees and cry out to God. And when a believer cries out to God, he touches heaven, and hell begins to tremble. And because what hell used to try to destroy you has driven you to try to destroy the works of hell in your life and in the lives of other people. So let me remind you today, you might have lost a round or two, but you are still in the fight. You are here. You may be pressed. You might be leaking a little, but you are not crushed. You're not. You may have had the breath knocked out of you. You may have a spiritual black eye and a spiritual busted lip and a spiritual bloody nose. But your next days are going to be better than your last days. And your setback is just a setup for the greatest victory of your life. I feel like all of you get this today. 1 John says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Let me say it again. The Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Maybe you heard the bell, thought it was the end of the fight. It was just the end of the round because Jesus has already won the fight. And it's time for you. Time for you to start a brand new chapter of life. It's time for you to close the chapter on the last chapter of your life and let it go. It's time for you to start a brand new chapter in your life. For some of you, you have been living as though you are mostly dead for most of the years in the past. It's time for you to come back to life. And so right now in this room, I'm calling you back to life. It's time. It's time to let the Spirit of God breathe back life right into you. It's time to release your former ways and cling fast to new ways. It's time to live under a new and fresh anointing of God. It's time for doubt to be crushed and for faith to rise back up in your life. I don't know everything that's happened to you, but I know that it's time. I know it's time for you to let God breathe life back into you. As the worship team slowly makes their way up, in the book of Daniel, we find two fascinating stories of God's people being attacked and then God's intervention in their life. There were these three young men that refused to obey this king's unjust and ungodly law. And so they're sentenced to death for refusing to obey. At that moment, they are sentenced to death, thrown into a fiery furnace. As they're thrown into the furnace, God literally steps into the flames and rescues them. It steps into the flames, right where they're at. It's like, I think one of the great pictures of Jesus' work in our life is that Jesus comes right into the chaos that we're in to rescue us. He just walks right in. He's not afraid of the chaos. He's not afraid of the flames. He's not afraid of all the destruction, all the stuff going on in your head. He's not afraid of any of it. He just comes in and rescues you. And this thing that the king was trying to use to destroy these three guys, this fiery furnace, the king now sees what's happening, calls them out, and the king then promotes them to a new place of leadership. The king ended up elevating them. Then we see this other man who God, this other man of God, whose clear devotion to God caused him to be thrown into a den of hungry lions. Hungry lions. I'm not sure if it makes a difference if they were hungry lions or just non-hungry lions, just a den of lions. But they were hungry. My youngest daughter, Haley, asked me yesterday in the van, "Dad, if you could be any animal, what kind of animal would you be?" I thought about it for a long time. "Dad, what kind of animal would you be? Living or extinct?" I'm like, "Extinct ones too? That's all right. I could be a dinosaur. I could be anything." But I said lion. I said a lion. Daniel 6:17. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. You see, they had Daniel thrown into this den of hungry lions. But not only was he thrown in, now they put a stone over the top so he can't get out. The king then sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Not only were the lions hungry and there was a stone he couldn't move, nobody was allowed to help. In every other story, that would be the end for Daniel. He would just be over. But not with God. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" The next two words are really important. Daniel answered. All right? That means he's not, he made it. He made it, right? Daniel answered. "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on it, for he had trusted in his God. Somebody, or lots of somebodies in this room, need to hear this today. Life and circumstances and people may have thrown you into the fiery furnace of life. They may have closed the door behind you and locked it. But in Christ, it's not over. You may have been thrown into the den of hungry lions, and then afterward, instead of giving you a chance, people rolled the stone over and said it's over once and for all. But I want to remind you today that the same God that delivers three young men from the fiery furnace is the same God that delivered Daniel from hungry lions. Is the same God that today is lifting you up off of the ground. The devil may have sent it to take you out, but God is going to use it to lift you up. Would you stand with me? Would you just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? I just want you to take a moment. Just take a moment and let the Spirit of God speak to you right now. Just quietly. Let Him speak to your heart. Let Him speak to your mind. right now. In this room, some of you are being called back to life. God is calling you back to life. God's not done with you. He's just getting started. Come back. Come back. Come back. Just a moment, the worship team's going to lead us. But before they do, I want you to respond. Some of you need to respond. You need to know that you are responding to God, that God is calling you back to life, and you are saying yes. You are saying yes. Like when Jesus told his friend Lazarus to come out of the grave, he said, come forth. Lazarus did. He actually came forth. Right now, God is calling some of you back to life, and he's saying, come forth. You need to say yes. So on the count of three, when I say three, if you want to respond to God that way, when I say three, I want you to come forward, and I want you to let God bring you back. Bring you back. One, right now you hear God calling you back to life. He's talking to you. You sense it in your spirit. You sense it in your mind. God is calling you back to life. Two, right now God is stretching out his hand right to you right now. You're on the ground. He's picking you up. He's lifting you up. You just got to say yes. You got to take his hand. You got to let him lift you up. And three, come now. Come now. Come forth. Come. Come back to life. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Listen, friends, right now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Don't worry about if somebody's like, oh, what's going on in their life. It doesn't matter. All that matters right now is that God wants you to come back to life. It's been too long. It's been too long. It's been too long. Right now, just begin right where you're at. Just begin to act. Just receive what the Spirit of God is doing in your life. God, I know that you're bringing us back to life. I know that you are doing something inside of me. I can feel you. I can trust that you are good. Right now, just begin to give. Just begin to give all of that stuff. Just give it to God right now. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how good it is. Doesn't matter how bad it is. Just give it to God. God doesn't want to just bring you to life at this altar. But everywhere you are, he goes before you. He goes with you. He will never let you go. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Today, God is bringing many of you right back to life. He's filling you with his Spirit, filling you with life, filling you with hope. He's restoring you. He's giving you hopes and dreams. He's giving you the ability to think about the future again. We have been given the Spirit of God. No matter how complicated it gets, no matter how hard it gets, we can agree with Scripture when it says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. And you can. You can overcome because you are overcomers. That is who God has made you to be, overcomers. And so now, in this room, for every life, I call everyone back to life. To everyone that needs resurrecting, the power
power of the Holy Spirit, we call you back to life. You are alive. You are alive in Christ. And you can walk in victory every single day. You can overcome. Because God has made you as overcomers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And God bless you guys. Love you. Love you.